Now we're going to call upon our brother Leon Millen of Los Angeles to ask the Lord's blessing upon Brother Art's discourse.
Most loving, kind Heavenly Father, it is indeed with thankful hearts that we bow before Thee at this time, giving Thee thanks for the words of encouragement that we have received. And we ask, dear Lord, that Thou would forgive anything we may see or miss, or may have said amiss with our brethren. And we ask that Thy Spirit be upon our brother Art, that he gives us words of encouragement, that we may continue to walk in this narrow way, to serve and to please Thee, and for the privilege of serving our brethren. This we thank Thee in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
Again, it's a great pleasure to introduce Brother Art Jesuit of the Chicago Ecclesia. And he's chosen as the title of his thoughts this afternoon, The Serpent's Venom. Sounds an interesting topic, Brother Art.
Needless to say, Sister Barbara and I have enjoyed being here, enjoyed your fellowship, and the blessings have been great. We feel close enough to you that we thought we'd share kind of a sensitive subject. The subject that we have in the handout seems somewhat intimidating, I'm sure. And it's somewhat scary when you first look at it. But in keeping with the theme of the convention, we kind of thought about this, and we thought we could refresh our minds as to one of the main problems which we have that doesn't unify the brethren. And so, as a result of our lesson, perhaps we can gain a little bit of what the problem might be and make some adjustments. I'll present this message in a loving, concerned, but kind of in a straightforward manner. My family used to hear me say many times when there was a serious subject, I'd say, "So listen up." And so what we're going to say is, maybe you'd want to just listen up a little. I'm sure you heard the phrase, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me." That's not true. It's like a poisonous serpent's venom. Gossip can kill you. It's the snake that poisons everybody. How? It topples governments, and you see this on the bottom of your handout, wrecks marriages, ruins careers, destroys reputations, causes heartaches, nightmares, indigestion, spawns suspicion, generates grief, and dispatches innocent people to cry in their pillows. Even its name hisses. It's called gossip. Is this a vital and important subject for all of the new creation? There is no less, and we notice this, than 10 manna texts and comments dealing with evil speaking. And to start our day throughout the year, we can go over this 10 times a year, but many times, 10 times a year. Many times we forget. We live in a most notorious and violent society under the influence of Satan. People hurt, maim, and kill their fellow humans with impunity. Do we inflict injury upon our neighbors and brethren? Are we guilty of murder? You may answer, "How unthinkable. Never, not me." Yet millions of seemingly harmless people hurt and even kill their fellow humans every day. Their instrument of violence is not the steely switchblade or the Saturday night special, but it's the tongue. Proverbs 11:9. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Whether the gossip is premeditated or accidental, murder is murder. And when you're dead, you're dead. Yes, words in the form of gossip and evil speaking can hurt you, and it hurts others. But gossip can be stopped. Let's look at how to prevent this deadly crime. What is gossip? Many don't know. Many do pretend. Many do know, but they pretend they don't. Many know, but they don't care. They go right on anyway, murdering others with their words. What is gossip? Let's define the instrument of death. It is the using of language either reproachful or untrue, respecting others and thereby injuring them. It's generally malicious, whether spoken or written. People love to talk about the alleged actions of others. Does this sound familiar? Do you hear what he did? No, tell me. Well, just between you and me, and it goes on and on and on from there. Listen to what God has to say about gossiping accusers. Proverbs 16:27, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it's on his lips like a burning fire. It is a direct command of Scripture to speak evil of no man. Titus 3:2. James 4:11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law. What happens to the victim of the accusations? The accusers, or you could call them the lynch mob of tongues, charge him, convict him, and they really condemn him to death. Accusation is deadly gossip. Gossip slanders his neighbor, destroys a person's character or reputation, and we must always beware, because he who lives by the sword of slander will die by the sword of slander. We read this in Psalms 101:5. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Gossip talks indiscreetly. Those who say just anything that comes to their mind spread gossip. They don't evaluate what they are about to say or its effect upon others. Listen to Ecclesiastes 10:11. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a blabberer is no better. In other words, gossip is any communication that injures another without any influence or persuasion. Proverbs 18:8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down to the inner and most part of the belly. We are not to understand that there are no occasions where evil should not be exposed. It would be our duty, many times, to speak out against such evil. Persons who administer justice, like judges, may speak words that in private conversation would be thought of as being severe. The ministers of the Lord may speak against sin with sharpness and severity, both privately and publicly. Titus 1:13. This witness is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Privately, we may reprove others where a sin has been committed, but always following Matthew 18. Yet in all of these instances, impartiality, as well as moderation and honesty, must be employed, taking special care that we never speak in terms that show no mercy, and that would be beyond measure, and out of perhaps bad principles. Not from any ill will, contempt, revenge, envy, or to accomplish our own ends, but from a deep and pure love for those to whom we speak, or of whom we speak, and always keeping in mind for their good. We want to touch briefly on an evil that is not sufficiently guarded against, and at times it manifests itself as being, as it were, a malignant pleasure or a growing pleasure. And that is in studiously recalling everything that can be brought forward, almost a delight in hearing anything spoken against another. Kind of a secret rejoicing in knowing that another's fall, will be an occasion for making ourselves look good. Let's beware of this, brethren. It's not just when we openly speak evil of others that we are guilty, but even in speaking what is true, that we are in danger of speaking evil. We have a pretty good idea now of what gossip is, what a serious matter it is. Now, let's look at its source. Whether you realize it or not, when you become involved in gossip, it becomes an encounter with the longest and vilest tongue in the universe. And you become a partner with Satan the serpent. Satan, Jesus said in John 8:44, was a murderer right from the beginning. I have no direct scripture on this, but I'm sure Satan probably used gossip to assassinate God in the eyes of his fellow angels, causing them to rebel. Jesus also revealed that Satan is a lying slanderer. Again in the John 8:44 scripture saying, "For he is a liar, and he is a father of it." You can't be any more explicit than this. Satan accuses both God and the brethren today, as in the past, through unsuspecting people. And papacy is a grand example of this. He is referred to as the accuser of our brethren. Revelation 12 and 10, we read, And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser," again through papacy, "of our brethren is cast down, which accuse them day and night." Yes, Satan is the source of gossip. Beside papacy, he has used many, many others. Don't allow him to whisper in your ear. Gossip addicts. People gossip for many, many reasons, all of them wrong. For example, those who have a low esteem tend to gossip. They do not respect themselves, so they gossip about others to pull them down, thereby giving rise to their own egos, but on the ruins of others. The gossiper experiences a temporary illusion of worth by announcing, "Just listen to what I have found," but quickly descends even lower than before. Then he or she yearns to gossip again, aching to experience another high, only to be dragged down and, sad to say, another gossip addict is born. Frustration produces gossipers too. You can't do or have everything that you may want. Perhaps you're dissatisfied with your situation in life, yearning for what the world calls fulfillment, in careers, in hobbies, or whatever. But brethren, should this be something we wrestle with? We have been so privileged by our Heavenly Father to know Him and our dear Lord Jesus. Idleness breeds gossip. Those who are idle with their hands and their minds tend to become active with their tongue. Listen to the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 5:13 to 15. 1 Timothy 5:13 to 15. "And withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things they ought not." Verse 14. "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And verse 15, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Can gossip be stopped? Can this malady, this addiction be cured? Certainly. We have at least 8 remedies for gossip that we would like to suggest. Number 1, we must realize how much our Heavenly Father hates gossip. We notice gossip-related sins appear 3 times on the list of the most abominable things that God hates. What are they? A lying tongue, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among his brethren. From Proverbs 6:16 to 19 of Proverbs, these 6 things does the Lord hate. Yea, even 7 are abomination to him. You remember that? A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceiveth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Notice 3 out of the 7 fall directly into the realm of gossip and evil speaking. God hates to see his children hurting one another with gossip. He issues a ceasefire of the tongue. How? He wants you to have the same attitude toward gossip as his. So the first step toward stopping it is to hate it, because it injures your neighbor, it injures your brethren. Once you come to hate gossip, then, too, you must repent of gossip. You must put it away. Why? Because gossip is sin. And we hear Jehovah's instructions in Exodus 20 and 16. And it is the 9th commandment, as you remember, in 20:16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The main thrust of this commandment focuses on the harm done to one's neighbor by the type of accusation and slander that makes up gossip. James explains it very well in chapter 4, verse 11, 4:11, when he says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Gossiping is bearing false witness, and if continued in, brings the death penalty. How do we know? Proverbs 13:3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that open wide his lips shall have destruction. So realizing that gossip is this serious sin, we must repent. We must strive with all within us to put it as far away from us as possible. And by the Lord's assisting grace, never to gossip anymore. Brethren, let's make this a matter of earnest prayer for ourselves as well as for one another. Next, we want to realize the source. And as we mentioned earlier, Satan is the originator of sin, of gossip, and he will do everything to perpetuate it, now more so than ever before. None of us wants to be used by him, yet when we gossip, we become his instrumentalities. Think of that the next time you are tempted, and perhaps bite your tongue. Next, don't listen. Don't listen. Not only should you eliminate engaging in gossip of all sorts, but you should also stop listening to it. You know, it takes 2. One to talk, one to listen. Gossip would instantly stop if there were no one listening. John uses strong language in his instructions concerning this in 2 John verse 9 to 11. 2 John verses 9 to 11. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there cometh any unto you that bringeth not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. So just listening to gossip makes you an accomplice. If anyone comes to you with gossip, don't listen. As gently and tactfully as possible, tell the person that the subject matter does not concern you and you would rather not discuss it. Be as firm as necessary. Even walk away if needs be. Hopefully the message will be received and the gossip will die. Next, detect gossip. How do you detect it? To stop gossip, you must be able to recognize it. But how? Since 9/11, the government and security agencies have spent millions and billions of dollars to protect the people from terrorism and foreign adversaries. How to recognize their schemes, their tactics, everything about them. God has provided us with an excellent gossip detection system. Let's take a look at the system as described in Philippians 4:8. 4:8. It's one that's familiar to all of us. The problem is that we don't send it through our checkpoint frequently enough. What does it tell us? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The first criteria for proper communication is it true? You should not listen to or say anything which is not true. In fact, you or the person telling you should be able to prove it without doubt that it is true. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. 5:21. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is true. If it can't be proven, it should be promptly discarded, not listened to, not spoken of. What if it is true? Should you then become involved? Not unless it's noble. The information should not in any way tarnish the character, name, or reputation of another brother or sister. Any hint of disrespect should set off an alarm and a flashing red light that our conscience should recognize, and it should be ignored, recognizing that it is gossip. Paul goes much further than this by declaring that the information must be just, meaning that we should not discuss or listen to the faults and sins of others. Why? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Proverbs 17:9 tells us that he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates the best of friends. Let's look for a few moments at one of the contributing factors to gossip, and that's evil surmising. The definition of evil surmising is to attribute evil motives to be behind the words and acts of another. This is a form of sin ranked by the Apostle Paul as contrary to the words of the Lord, opposed to godliness and of having a spirit of envy and strife. When this type of spirit proceeds from the heart of one who is not fully consecrated, we may be forced to make some exceptions for their suspicions and selfishness. Those who have cultivated the spirit of love that thinketh no evil have progressed in their development of character and understanding in the fear of the Lord. These will be very cautious, even when there is an appearance of evil. They will avoid imputing any evil intentions and until it is forced upon them by indisputable evidences. It is much better to take slight risks and suffer some trifling losses than to accuse one innocent person. Brethren will cultivate the disposition to think charitably of the words and actions of another And suppose that their intentions are good until they have positive evidence to the contrary. From their high standard of appreciation of the divine law, advanced Christians see that in the Lord's sight, hatred is murder. Slander is assassination, and the destruction of a man's good name is robbery. We are told very emphatically that any of these things done in the church among professed people of God is doubly evil. It is robbery. It's a murder of your fellow brother. With much force, the scriptures in Jeremiah 17:9 tell us that the natural heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Those who practice evil speaking, evil surmising, and slander, and who attempt to justify their conduct have either never entered the classroom of Christian development or have made a minimum of progress and are seriously lacking the spirit of brotherly love. Another important part of our gossip detection system is purity. Our words must be pure, true, and correct. I like this. Mark Twain once said, "Correct words and almost correct words are like the difference between a fire and a firefly." The words we speak must be pure and without bias and exaggeration. In our society, blasphemy, false accusation, innuendos, and even profanity have almost become proper etiquette. I think the last political campaign kind of proved this. Listen to Romans 3:13 and 14. "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose lips is full of cursing and bitterness." The Lord does not want his people listening or spreading impure words or stories. Keep your mouth and your ears pure. Permit only that which will affect you and others in a positive, uplifting way to fill your mind. 1 Corinthians 13:5 tells us, "Love thinketh no evil." Love filling our hearts will not only hinder evil conduct and injurious words, but will prevent evil thoughts. Human nature, the flesh, thrives on bad news, thrives on infidelity, vices, sensationalism, you name it, it's what's featured, true or false. Proverbs 24:2, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief." Paul instructs us to avoid bad reports, to use the gossip detectors of truth, honor, righteousness, purity, and a good report to stop gossip. Let's look now into where gossip leads to. You may in some instance think of gossip as being harmless, but what it leads to is to slander. Slander is always damaging, and it may be with or without malicious motives, but nevertheless it causes pain and strife. Both the law of God as well as the laws of men agree that such injury is wrong. It's true that many who slander are never prosecuted. Newspapers have many times escaped the charges brought against them for libelous slander with the plea that, after all they did was publish the news that properly belonged to the public. Today, those in the public eye consider it a good policy to let unchecked slander, ordinary slander, go unchecked, realizing that many of the statements made by the opposition will be properly labeled as falsehood. The effect of the public slander is very injurious. It's an evil that brings about a gradual growth of slander amongst people, institutions, and government. The Greek word for slanderer or accuser is diabolos, A word used in Scripture in various places, as you're aware of, that we touched on earlier as being the title of Satan. We see the seriousness of the crime of slander against anyone when we read Leviticus 19:16. 19:16 of Leviticus from Moffat. You shall not go up and down slandering people. You shall not forge a charge of murder against your neighbor. I am the Eternal. False charges have in many instances actually led to execution. False witnesses have many times been instrumental in the death of innocent persons. Let's look at an example or two. 1 Kings 21:8-13. 1 Kings 21:8-13. So she, Jezebel, wrote letters to Ahab's name and sealed them with a seal, sent the letters to the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. I'm sure you remember this story. Jezebel sent two witnesses to bring false witness against Naboth in front of the people that Naboth has blasphemed God and the king. They followed the instructions to the letter from Jezebel. They proclaimed a fast, set Naboth on a high place amongst the people, charged him falsely, took him out into the city, and stoned him, giving Ahab full possession of Naboth's huge vineyard. Second example, Matthew 26:59-60. Matthew 26:59-60. Now the chief priests and elders and all the councils sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. But found none, yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they none found none. At the last came forth two false witnesses. The third example is found in 2 Timothy 3:1-3. 3:1-3, 2 Timothy. Where the scriptures foretell that the presence of slanderers would be one of the marks of the last days. It's the day that we're living in. We often think of this as a condition in the world which further fuels the time of trouble. But this evil can filter into our midst also, igniting internal strife and problems. There are many kinds of slander. I'll just list a couple. Number one, charging others with faults they are not guilty of. Two, partial or lame representation of another's words or practices. Three, suppressing or concealing circumstances which should be explained. Four, instilling sly suggestions that create prejudice in the mind of the hearer. Number five, magnifying and aggravating the faults of others. Can any of us say that we are not guilty of uttering one or more of these slanderous statements? Speak to edify. When we read the epistle of James, we notice from his writings that he had learned well the lesson, and he sets it forth to us, that of the cruelty of the tongue. He compares it to beasts, to reptiles, and he tells us that any of these may be considered tameable. Man's superiority and power to subdue these has been demonstrated with excellent results, but not so with the tongue. He tells us the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil. No serpent's bite contains so dangerous, so violent a poison. The serpent's bite can cause much pain and even death to its victim. But the tongue can do much more than that. It can ravage and it can devour. Though it is a little member, it is most dangerous because of its influence extends even to death. If we could just understand how great the potential is for sinning with our words, it would almost make us afraid to speak. lest we speak amiss. And maybe such a fear would be a blessing to us if it instilled in us more of a desire to speak words of justice, love, and soberness. In Philippians 4:8, that we referred to earlier, the apostle tells us, if there's any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And we would add, and speak of these things. Virtuous words are words of excellence and value. Words that build up the speaker as well as the hearer. Words of love and good tidings that will so motivate us that the dread of speaking evil will guard our every expression. As we read further in the book of James, we find he is not speaking of the tongue from a worldly standpoint, but as members of the Church of Christ, speaking about or to their fellow members. He tells us that we are to use our tongues to praise God, to confess his grace and mercy and love, to speak words that praise his great and wonderful works of creation. Scriptural anti-venom serum. Do we have any? We have quite a bit. These scriptures have always been here. We read them, we refer to them hundreds of times. We've committed many of them to memory. Now it's time to bring them to mind, and as the saying goes, keep them on the front burner. 1 Peter 2:9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a royal nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. How do you show forth his praises? By words that edify. Acts 25:16. To whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die, before that he which is accused have the accuser face to face, and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him, before putting anyone to death with words of gossip, evil speaking and slander, first follow the words of this scripture, then follow Matthew 18:15-17. One of the hardest lessons apparently for Christians to learn thoroughly is the master's command that if they have anything unpleasant to say respecting a brother or a sister, any criticism to offer concerning the private life of another, they should go to the person alone first. Perhaps in no other way does the adversary succeed so well in planting the roots of bitterness, producing misunderstandings, anger, malice, hatred, strife, and other works of the flesh and the devil, as in the deterring the Lord's people from obedience to this command. Psalms 139:4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. If the Lord knows even before we say it what is on our heart, we must strive with all that is within us to have our hearts pure. Proverbs 31:26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Brethren, let us permit love to do her perfect work in our relationship to others. Love filling our hearts will not only hinder evil speaking and injurious words, but will prevent evil thoughts. We are now on trial for glory, honor, and immortality. We cannot put ourselves in danger of losing that great prize for which we are striving. Let us not neglect to weigh our words carefully, very carefully.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Art, for those very good admonitions from the Scriptures about weighing our words carefully.
Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence grateful to thee for thy loving kindness and tender mercies to us. We thank thee for the lesson of the past hour. Our prayer and sincere desire is that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart might be acceptable in thy sight. For these many favors we thank thee and praise thee for in dear Jesus' name. Amen.